And I appreciate you getting to be here today. Now, I'm going to do something here a little different than what I normally do. I'm not going to sing it, no. I've got a lesson today from Daniel chapter number 3 that is very familiar to everybody. And this lesson, we're going through the book of Daniel, and it's entitled The Fuel for the Fiery Furnace. But in your bulletin, I put a song that goes along with this lesson that I've known for years. And I wanted you to have the words of it, because this morning I'm going to play it for you. And I want you to listen before I go into the lesson today. I want you to listen to the words of this song. You can follow along with it. I know that many of you have gone through trials, and many of you have gone through some real tribulation time with sickness and health and losing family and all sorts of situations. But you know what? I'm thankful that we got a God that walks with us through those storms. Amen? Amen. He walks with us through those storms. And He goes through the fires. He's there with us. He's promised us He will never leave us nor forsake us. And I just wanted this song to be an encouragement to you today, okay? So, Brother Charles, hit it. It's coming. There you go. Listen to the word, and you can follow along with the words here, okay?
Many years ago, in a time of war, three young men faced a bitter test. For the king decreed that they not be freed, but instead he had bound them fast. Because they would not bow the knee, except to God on high. In jealous flames, with great disdain, these men were thrown to die. But who would have thought, that the flames would set them free? And who would have thought, sat down upon his throne. But when he took yet a second look, he cried out with astonished tone, "Did we not cast into the fire a group that numbered three? Now they're walking round as though unbound, with a fourth like
on.
Amen. Well, when I was listening to that song, as I was studying the lesson this week, man, I just had to get up and just praise the Lord and thank Him. And you know, before testimony, these men had a testimony for Christ. They had a testimony for the Lord that they believed. But before every testimony, there are four letters. T-E-S-T. Test. And before the testimony can be born, there's going to come a test. And you may go through some tests. You may go through some trials. But I want you to understand, the Lord is there to walk with you. Amen. He's there to go through the fire with you. And I want you to never forget, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are times of trials that we go through. And folks, we are in a warfare today. In this world, we are in the midst of a great warfare. The spiritual against wickedness, powers, principalities in this air that want to destroy your life, want to destroy my life, want to destroy our testimony. The devil wants to do everything he can do to conquer us and to make us feel like we cannot be anything used of God. But I'm here today to tell you that we've got a Savior that is with us. He'll go with us through the fire. And what we've got to do right now, and that's what I want to do through this lesson today, is to prepare you for those trials. You know, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 says this. Paul wrote here, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God." Why? "That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." God wants us to stand in this evil day. We've got to be willing to stand. Folks, the only way to be victorious on the battlefield is to be prepared before you go in the battle. And that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church. That's why we have this old book called the Word of God, the Bible, that we can hide in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. Amen? Now, in Daniel chapter number 3, I want us to look at this lesson today. I know there are 30 verses in this lesson, but I'm going to try to cover all of them here in the time that we have. And it's difficult, let me tell you. Man, I've got notes all written in my Bible here while I was making notes and things. But folks, listen to me. In our last lesson, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel informed the king, back in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 28, how that there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the last days. And this Daniel, as Daniel revealed the dream that the king had dreamed before all the people, all those sorcerers and all those magicians and all the Chaldeans and all these things, we saw how that the king, he knew that Daniel was God's man. And the Bible said there in chapter 2, verse number 46, that King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and he worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. But Daniel didn't point the king to himself. He pointed them to the God that knew and the God that revealeth secrets. And the Bible said here in verse 47 that the king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." Now I want you to notice here that King Nebuchadnezzar, while he recognized that the God of Daniel was the true and living God, he never proclaimed the God of Daniel, the God of Israel, as being his own God. But rather, he simply referred to him as being Daniel's God. Folks, listen to me today. Folks are looking at your life and at mine, and they do need to see that our God is the God of all gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and the revealer of secrets. But the goal is to help them not just see that fact, but to accept that fact and receive that Savior as their own. And Daniel worked to point this king to the Lord God. Now, because he has not accepted God as his only God, and he put Daniel over the affairs of the whole province of Babylon, he put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in authoritative positions throughout the kingdom, the king still had those other men that were there to advise him. And here in Daniel chapter number 3, several years after Daniel first gave the king the interpretation of the dream that he had, the Bible said here in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Now, if you'll remember, last week when we looked at this lesson, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about a great image that was before him, a head of gold, okay? A breast and arms of silver, the stomach and thighs of brass, and goes on down the list, all the way down to the toes that were clay and iron mixed. And Daniel explained to him how that his kingdom would one day be overthrown. This king, so full of pride, said, you know what, I'm going to change things. And he went on to conquer many other lands during those days after the interpretation of the dream was given. He conquered many lands. But here in chapter number 3, King Nebuchadnezzar said, man, look at all I've done. Look at the things that I've accomplished. I think that I'm going to put up an image here made of gold in my likeness. And look what the Bible said. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. Now, a cubit is 18 inches, a foot and a half. 60 is 3 times 20. And what is that? 60. And 60 times a cubit, 18 inches, turns out to be 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. That's a huge image. And it was just colossal in size. And it was 9 feet wide. The breadth thereof, 6 cubits. That is 9 feet. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And through Daniel, God had informed this king that he had been blessed of God. And God had given him all these great kingdoms. But he said, thou art this head of gold. Daniel said, God says, O king, you're the head. The king says, no, I'm everything. I'm everything, and I want everybody to know it. So he builds this colossal image. He sets it up in the midst of the plain of Dura, there in Babylon, where everybody coming into the city of Babylon will have to see this image. And the Bible said here that this king was so engulfed with pride, he was so engulfed that this entire statue was made of gold. It was gold. Now, I don't think the whole image may have been a gold. It was probably like the Ark of the Covenant. You know, it was made of acacia wood, and it was coated with gold, okay, surrounded with gold. And I don't know that it was totally made out of gold, but it could have been. I don't know the wealth of this king. Nobody seemed to know. But the thing about it is, archaeologists in Babylon have discovered there upon the mounds in the plains of Dura, they found a gigantic pedestal right before going into the city. And the archaeologists, and some of these, I don't know if they're saved or they're lost. I don't have a clue. But they have suggested that this pedestal, colossal size pedestal, was the foundation for the image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up in the plain of Dura in his day. Now, this thing is huge. And can you imagine a 90-foot statue of gold glistening in the sun in this city? My goodness, I can't imagine what it must have looked like, how intimidating it must have been. But the Bible says that the king did this. Now, there's a lot of people who say, oh, he can never do anything like that. There is archaeological proof that this thing existed. And the Bible goes on to say that King Nebuchadnezzar not only built this image of gold, but then he brought a convocation, a great assembly of all the leaders that he had conquered into the plains of Dura. Look at verse number 2 and 3. After he built this image, the Bible said, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, plural, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. He brought everybody together. He unveiled this great image before them. And then he gives a command. And that command begins in verse 4, 5, and 6. Look at the command. Daniel here tells us of how this great assembly of defeated leaders, ones that had now fallen under his domain, they were gathered together. And this included all the Jewish captives, all right? It included all of them. The Bible said, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. He gives the command. And he's probably watching. The king is probably watching. And he thought ahead. He said, there are going to be some of these folks that are probably going to try to rebel against me. So he said, Harold, I want you to make the challenge also. Give the command, but also give the challenge. And look what he said. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth the same hour shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Can you imagine? You're threatened to do what this authoritative man, this king, says do. Hey, listen, it makes me glad I won't be here during the tribulation time, because this is going to happen during the tribulation time. The Antichrist is going to say, hey, all you nations and kingdoms and things, I'm going to take care of you, but you're going to have to take a mark, either in your hand or your forehead. We'll take care of you, but we've got to account for you, and we want you to take a mark. This was just a precursor of what was going to be happening. And look what the Bible said. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 3 through 5, God had commanded his people, the Jews, through Moses. He gave them some commandments. And he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, he said that knowing the hearts of these people. He knew the hearts of the children of Israel. And he reminded them, you don't need to have any other gods before you. You're going into a land that worships all kinds of wicked pagan idols. He said, but you are not to have any of those gods before you. Now, these Jews that were there for that dedication that day, they knew that. They knew what God had said. But you got to remember, Why were they in captivity? Because they had done exactly this. They had snubbed their noses at God. They had worshiped pagan idols. They had fallen down before the wicked gods of their day. And you know what? God put them into captivity under this king. Now they were given another chance to choose whom they were going to serve. And the Bible said here, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth below or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For the Lord thy God, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. The commandment had been given by God. That golden image now had been set up. A command had been given and a challenge went with it. And folks, you listen to me. We're getting ready in 2 weeks to vote. Okay? And all I can tell you is this. Vote biblically. Vote biblically. Vote spiritually. Do not stand for wickedness. Do not approve of that which is wrong in our country. We may be a small voice, but you know what? We can be God's voice. And these people had a choice now that they had to make. Do we do what the king says and live? Or do we do what God says do and die? Now you think about it. What choice did they have? Look at verse 7. Here we see the compliance of all those that were there, the subjects that were there, the ones that fell now under Nebuchadnezzar's command. Verse 7 said, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, look at that word, A-L-L. What does that mean? All. Everybody, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Can you imagine the pressure that they must have been under? Soldiers all around them. The burning fiery furnace over near where that idol was. A 90-foot image standing there and the king crying out, do this or die. Do this or die. What would you have done? What would you have done? It's easy for us who have never gone through any trials such as this to say, oh man, I'd have stood. When you got a great big Babylonian soldier standing over there watching you and looking to see who is not doing what the king says do. So what happens? Everybody falls down. But now we read in verses 8 through 18, we read of the descent of the Hebrews. Now that word descent means a difference of opinion, okay? A difference of opinion, basically due to somebody's religious belief or their faith. That's what descent means. There were three Jewish young men that said, you know what? We can't do this. But let me say something. Because they were already in authority in some of the provinces, my guess is they knew what was coming. They knew that they were going to be offered a challenge. They knew ahead of time. And they made up their hearts and they made up their minds ahead of time what they were going to do. You say, Brother Ray, how do you know that? Read these verses. Look at it. Here in these verses, we're going to see how that these young men had made up their mind ahead of time. And let me say this again, too. This is in the book of Psalm, chapter number 37. You might want to write this verse down. Psalm chapter 37, verse 32. The psalmist David wrote, he said, the wicked watcheth the righteous. Did you know that people are watching you today? The people at work? Your family at home? And folks, listen to me today. It is not always easy to make the right decision, but it's always the right thing to do in the eyes of God, to do what God says do. Listen, these folks were being watched. And the psalmist David said, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. They're looking for an opportunity to slay your testimony, to slay you, to make you look like a fool in front of the world today. You got to choose which way you're going to be. Now, I want you to look at their denouncement here, how they accused them. Those same wicked and jealous magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans who had been shown the truth several years ago and their lives spared by the man of God, now went back to their wicked old lifestyle. And as the king, full of pride, they came before the king. They watched to see the leaders that the king set before them, what they would do. And because they wanted to get back at these men, they accused the king of making a bad decision. Now look what the Bible said. Verse number 8. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And I can imagine the king standing there, yes, sir, buddy, that's what I said. Oh, yeah, that's what I said. They set him up. And look at what they said then. They said, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And then they name them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Man, that accusation was pretty clear, was it not? So what now would happen? Well, let's look at the dealings of the king. Verses 13 through 15. From his trusted advisors, he received these accusations. And the worst one, I think, was not just pointing these guys out, saying, hey, they didn't fall down and worship. But they accused the king and say, hey, king, these are guys that you put in authority over your kingdom. What are you going to do about this? And it put the king in a bad situation too. And look what the Bible said. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. Now, he had to make it look like he was really mad. And I believe he was. He was mad because he had been embarrassed. He had been made to look like a fool in front of all these other people that he had already conquered. He had set up an idol. He said, you worship it or you die. Could he go back on his word? No, he wasn't going to go back on his word. He wasn't going to look like a fool. So then the Bible said, then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I have set up? Listen to me. He knew they didn't do that. He knew that from a long time ago. But he had to make it look like, oh, man, I didn't know. You're leaders in our country. And he had to look good before all these other people. And he made it seem like he just didn't know. Boy, it sounds like our political world today, doesn't it? Good night. I forgot. Oh, man, I didn't know that. Then look what he said. So kindly, so sweetly. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, everything's good. It's cool. But then look what he said. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Boy, he crossed the line there, did he not? He compared himself as being greater than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is no other God. He knew these things. So the king singled them out, and he forced them to make a decision. And folks, you listen to me today. The world is going to do the same with you today. They're going to single you out. They're going to make you before all of them to make a decision. And I remember when my boss called me into the office. We were in the midst of Desert Shield and Desert Storm. We were working 3 shifts a day, 7 days a week. And he brought me in the office, and he wanted me to work all those 7 days. And I said, I can't do it. He said, well, then I'm going to give you just a little time here to make a decision. What are you going to do? I'm getting ready to retire. You can be the president of this company and make all kinds of money. And I never will forget him sitting back in his orange chair. And he crossed his arms like this. And he said, or you can preach. He put me on the spot. And I never will forget when he took me to lunch the next time. My boss never took me to lunch and paid unless there was a problem. Okay? And he asked me my decision. I said, I told you then, I can't do it. I can't do this thing. And man, he demoted me. He took my pay and cut it all out. I never will forget. And I never will forget going home and telling my wife. And I had 2 little children there. And she began to cry. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to trust God just like we've always done. God's got something else for us. We're going to trust God. And you know what? After he cut my pay and all these other things, we still never missed a meal. God still blessed us. He took us. And tomorrow, 1993, October the 31st, 1993, tomorrow will be that 29th anniversary that I left that company and went full-time for the Lord, making a whole lot less than even I did when I got the demotion. But you know what? Not one time has God ever let me down. He walked through the midst of the storm with us. Through the fire, he took us through it. The Bible said that these men had made up their mind. The king asked, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, I want you to see the determination of these 3 young Hebrew men. Look at it. Notice here, all 3 of these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, beginning in verse 16, answered and said unto the king. It wasn't just one of them. It was all 3 of them. And they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. That means basically, we don't have to be concerned about this. We're not full of worry. We don't doubt what we know we're going to say unto you. We know what we're going to tell you. Here's our answer. If it be so, in other words, if you do what you say you're going to do, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And I can just hear those Chaldeans and all the people in the audience going, ooh, ooh, what's going to happen now? The Bible said, but if not. And folks, I'm glad they said this, because there are times that God doesn't choose to deliver us immediately out, but he allows us to go through the fire. Why? Because the fire destroys the dross, the sin, and all those things that hinder us. And we come forth a vessel for the finer after going through the fire. And he said, all 3 of them now, they said, but if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Man, these guys were serious. You see, they had made their decision before the trial came. Folks, listen to me today. Don't wait till the trial comes to put on the whole armor of God. Put the armor on now. Be prepared in the Word of God now. I'm telling you, the fiery trials are going to come. They're going to hit you head on. And if you're not prepared for the battle, you're going to die in that battle. You're going to spiritually die. It reminds me, these three young men, I think they made their decision because there was a day in the past where another young man named Daniel had to make a decision. And that young man, the Bible said, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, took note of that young man and said, you know what? Daniel's right. We've got to make a stand. We've got to take a stand today for that which is right. And on this day, they did exactly that. Now, upon hearing the words of defiance by these three Hebrew young men, in front of all the millions that were gathered there, the Bible said in verse number 19, look at it, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible said, therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, if that furnace was 1,000 degrees, he had them throw on the sticks and all the fuel to make it be 7,000 degrees. Can you imagine? I can't imagine the fury of this king and what would cause him to do something like this. He wanted to get rid of the problem. And look what the Bible said. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the most mighty men that he had, that he trusted in his army, he was willing to have them die to get rid of this testimony for the true and living God. Now, if one king named Nebuchadnezzar was willing to do that then, what do you think a whole government would do today against those that trust God and claim to know God as their Savior? Bro, we're looking at those things coming today. And they're heating up the fire seven times hotter than it's ever been heated up before. And look what the Bible said. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You listen to me today. The devil's going to try to knock you down. The devil's going to cast you down in the midst of the burning fiery trials that you go through. And there may be some times that you literally fall to your knees. But you know what? That's as close as God is. Amen. When we're on our knees, call out to the Savior that's able to hear us. And it's like that song we just sang. When the king did all this, he looked back over in the furnace and he said, hey guys, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three men into the fire? Didn't we throw them in bound and just they were going to burn up in that fire? Yeah. Well, look at this point B, the astonishment of the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, "Oh, true, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Boy, there was something different about the form of that fourth one, was it not? That's my Savior, amen? He's the great conqueror. He's the one that walks with us in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I want you to look at the decree of the king. Look at it, verses 28 and 29. He recognizes the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not worship any god except their own God." You know what the king said? These men have yielded themselves unto the Lord. Folks, that's what you and I do. That is a voluntary effort. The devil's crowd is not going to force us to do anything. It's got to be in your heart to begin with, to yield yourself unto God. And look what he said. "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Man, what a statement, amen? This king now recognized the fact that their God went with them through the fire. Folks, listen to me today. The battle that you have, you'll not go through it alone if you will prepare your heart for that battle. And listen to the reward, the last verse. "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." Folks, listen to me today. It's worth it all to serve the Lord. Amen. It's worth it all. One of these days when we stand before God and we hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it'll be worth going through the fire. It'll be worth walking with the Lord Jesus Christ before the fire, because it's then that we can walk with him through the fire. Amen. Isn't that great? What a lesson. Man, what a lesson that we need to learn today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. Thank you, God, for this great lesson that we can be able to teach to your people. I pray, God, that you'll take my feeble words and use them for your honor and for your glory. And help our people today, Lord, to determine in their hearts that they're going to serve you no matter what the situation may be. And Lord, if there be anyone listening to the sound of my voice today that's not yet saved and they don't know you as their Savior, please, oh God, draw them unto you and help them to come to know you even today. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in class. God bless you.